Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not one, but two apologies. This is Wretched Radio. It's getting more and more difficult these days to know the difference between news and fake news. Not just with unbelievers, but inside the church. Things have gotten so bonkers, it's hard to do satire these days, and it's hard to discern when an article is being written with tongue-in-cheek or when it's not. Babylon Bee has actually been taken to task several times. I believe it was MSNBC saying, hey, you need to start putting disclaimers on your articles. Babylon Bee is a satire site. They seem to have expanded their territory, not like Jabez, but they've expanded their territory, not just satirizing things in the church, but things in the world and in politics. My understanding is some politicians, some liberals, are mad at them. Hey, you need to tell people you're actually joking. Why? Because it's hard to tell when it's a joke these days and when it's not. And so it is inside of evangelical Christianity. The other day, reported a story about a pastor in Ghana who said he could bring back Kobe Bryant and his daughter for $50 million. Now, we talked about that and reported the story. Apparently, we're not the only ones who reported some fake news because it was within the realm of credibility. It's absolutely possible that this type of story could happen. And many people fell for it, including us, because we've read similar stories. In fact, we've read far worse stories coming out of the Signs and Wonders movement that is so unbridled and out of control. These wacky stories in Africa, not just Africa, but even in the West, of pastors who do zany things with their congregation. Some people have actually died from it. The pastor who would step on people and have a bunch of people step on people to squeeze the disease out of them. How's about the pastor who told the congregation they're sheep? What do sheep eat? They eat grass. So he shooed them all out the door and they had to eat grass in the front lawn. Not kidding. How's about the pastor who has his people drinking a diluted version of basically petrol to get the disease out of you or something? And those are true stories. So when this pastor came along saying, for $50 million, I'll raise him from the dead, I went, yeah, that's right. That's typical. My apologies, not so. But I think a more important apology would be to you if I unintentionally upset you regarding the issue of taking care of elderly parents. Was reading through 1 Timothy 5, and it is a verse that is a tricky one for us in the West, in the 21st century, when we have so many options for care for elderly parents. And I had tried in that presentation, being mindful that there are different scenarios and different considerations. I tried to be mindful of that, but I don't think I was mindful enough. It turns out that this subject, I think, is one that is similar to talking about prayer and emotional issues. There are some subjects in Christendom that we would all do well to be really, really thoughtful about when we talk about these subjects. Because if you do not present everything holistically, the entire subject, there are people who could be hurt by it. There are people who might say, hey, wait a second, but what about this? And you said that, and it really scalded me. There are some subjects like that. Talk about depression and talk about how the Bible has the power to give you joy. And you will receive a notice from somebody, as I have in the past, which is why I try to be mindful of it. Hey, what about medication? It's really helped me. When I didn't mention anything, any sort of nota bene about medication. And it turned out that somebody who's taking medication, it is actually helping them in their situation. And it turns out they are one of the exceptions to the rule where it is needed. They didn't hear anything about medication. They just heard the Bible has the power to give somebody joy, and they felt like they were being attacked. Now, we all know that you cannot put little asterisks on everything you say. Otherwise, frankly, we'd hardly be able to have a conversation. Nevertheless, I think there are some subjects that we just need to be thoughtful about when we talk about them. And it turns out, lesson learned for me, talking about taking care of elderly parents is one of those issues. I won't read through them because many of them are personal. I'll just summarize them. A lot of the emails in response to me talking about 1 Timothy 5 saying, I think we need to rethink it. That's as strong as I got. I think we need to rethink this. I did not make a blanket statement. Every single child of an elderly parent must take care of them in every situation. I didn't say that. Nevertheless, let me explain what I think could be some exceptions to what I think we are given is a rule. We can't escape that. When it comes to an issue that confronts us, that can be a personal challenge for us, our attitude should be, I want to obey, not how can I find a way out of this? It doesn't mean that you might not find a way out of it, but it does mean that our heart and our attitude should be, I want to try to obey as best I can. That should be our starting place. 1 Timothy 5, it's tough for us in the West. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Tried to stress that this is something that needs to be reconsidered on the part of children and parents. Children have a tendency to not want to do this. Parents have a tendency to not want it to be done for them. And I think both parties need to reconsider the blessing that is available to both ends of the spectrum because it's pleasing to God. And if it's pleasing to God, it must be pleasing to us. That was my encouragement. Nevertheless, my apologies if it felt like I was insensitive on the deal. Wasn't trying to be. Let's get back to the text. Now, she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. So this is a widow who is godly. But she who lives in pleasures is dead while she lives. All these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own family, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That seems pretty ironclad, doesn't it? And I don't think that we should try to water that down. So how can we say there might be exceptions? I think that there could be some to this with mutual agreement. Many people sent me an email saying, I physically can't take care of the physical needs of my mom or dad. I don't think there's anything wrong with enlisting care in an assisted care facility. I don't remember, laws are made for people. People aren't made for laws. And if a law like this isn't good for both parties, then you don't apply the law. It wouldn't be good for a mom who can't be taken care of by a son or daughter or both. That's not good for them because of a malady that's so difficult and so challenging. And it might actually be better. What about the number of people who said, you don't understand how awful my parents are? Now, this is where it can get a little bit dicey. Would I be quick to go, oh, it's kind of difficult, then don't worry about it? I wouldn't go that fast. But could it be in some situations where there is somebody who is so abusive, somebody who is so nasty that it is you have to protect your own family from your parents? And I think the answer to that is yes, because we do have that responsibility. How do you know if that's the case? Well, it's not easy. And I think that's the power of the local church being involved in your life to help you make decisions like that. I don't think that we should run to that as the first out. I think that should be the last out. And the overall attitude should be, how can I obey this commandment? How can I do this? And the decision it should be one that is more difficult than, look, they can just spend the money on the retirement. Let them just go. They want to go there. I think that that can be an option, but I think that we need to consider the command that Paul gives us via God, from God, that it's pleasing when we take care of our parents, and it should be our desire to do so because it pleases God, and I want to be pleasing to him. So in this entire conversation, I think much to be learned. And other emails that I received that were helpful, by the way, there needs to be a mutual respect going on. A lot of people are like, oh, my parents, they don't respect me, and I try to take care of them. And they, hey, mom and dad, that needs to stop. If you want to use Ephesians 6 to say that they still need to honor me by taking care of me, or 1 Timothy 5, so be it, but you can't make them nuts either. And it's their house, and you would do well to support them, submit to their rules, and be a good house guest. So it needs to be a mutual sort of affair. All that to say, my apologies if I stepped on your toes by being inconsiderate, wasn't trying to, don't want to make a blanket statement or law where there isn't a law in every single case, but I would stand by these verses and suggest we all need to take a closer look at this in an effort to be pleasing to God. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio. Thanks to our gospel partners. We don't do that enough. Thank you. We are most appreciative. Your generosity is what lets Wretched be wretched. I mean, not just keeping the lights on and the coffee maker working, though those are important. Your generosity allows us to be on the TV and the radio and on the internet at wretched.org. For that, we are truly grateful. You also give us the resources so that we can make some pretty nifty resources of our own available at the Wretched Store. So to our gospel partners, thank you very much. Now, if you're not a gospel partner, would you consider it? Visit wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. You see, the more you give, the more we can give away. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Is there someone in your life you fear is a false convert? Would you like to know more about true and false conversion? Then you want Are You a Rotten Fish? It is the perfect gospel booklet for you. Are You a Rotten Fish is a thorough presentation of true and false conversions. In other words, it's the difference between good fish and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish will compare and contrast the true gospel versus false gospels and the correct response, repent and trust, versus all the incorrect responses, you know, things like asking Jesus into your heart. So get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish today at wretched.org/fish. wretched.org/fish. So if you're not absolutely certain you're a good fish, or you know some rotten fish and you'd like to figure out why they aren't good fish, get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish? wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace. SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Books of the Bible. 1 and 2 Kings relate the history of Israel from Solomon through the division of Israel into two kingdoms to the destruction of both kingdoms. Though Israel and Judah and their kings were often unfaithful, God continually calls his people to repentance through his prophets. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, that didn't take very long. This is Wretched Radio. So there I am, being a dutiful husband. No, a husband that absolutely was thrilled to be watching HGTV with my spouse. Lo and behold, a House Hunters pops up, and there were people who wanted to buy a house in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for their two kids. There was just one little fly in the ointment. Those people were people, not just two, three. It was a throuple. That's right. We are there. How many times did people say when marriage was being debated in this country, won't this be kind of a slippery slope? No, no, no. Hey. Don't be ridiculous, we were told. And now on HGTV, presented as if it were just any other couple, a throuple buying a house. That didn't take long, did it? The slope has slipped. And I was shocked that it was presented in such a casual affair. Did they talk a little bit about, you know, there are some challenges to being a throuple? Nevertheless, and oh, they were such a fun throuple. Everything was funny. Everything was up. Everything was a joke, and it was ha, ha, ha. And it was being presented as normative. Get ready for more and more and more of it. So here was the story. I had to write it down to keep up with the details. It's not easy to follow the escapades of the unbelievers these days. A man, and he was actually a man, by the way. He was a man, married a woman, but when they got married, he knew that she was bisexual. But that was okay. They got married, had two children, but she met another woman, so they went to Aruba, where they had a non-governmental ceremony binding them together as a throuple. You following along with that? And so now they want to buy a home together as a throuple. Wow. If you think legal proceedings are messy with two people, one can only imagine the headache. You know what I expect to see pretty soon? Billboards for throuple divorce. We'll help you with your throuple. We specialize in throuple divorces or whatever they are. And so this couple, throuple, they are trying to buy a house and then bring the two kids from the actual marriage into it so that they can live happily ever after. On HGTV, what's next? Legalizing polygamy in Utah. Oh, look at that. They're legalizing polygamy in Utah from Fox 5 New NY. Must be NewYork.com. Don't know why. 85 years after plural marriage was declared a felony, they still number in the thousands. There's about 30,000 polygamists in Utah, Mormon, no doubt. Now, I know that the people from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints would say, well, they're like an offshoot branch. They're not really Mormon. Well, they still identify as Mormon. And there's a reason they're polygamist. It is because polygamy was absolutely fine based on the lifestyle modeled by their founder, Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, all of them. Multiple wives, oodles, oh children. They must have been the first homeschool families with all those kids. At any rate, the polygamy law was in place until, I think it was in the 1890s, give or take. The U.S. government finally went, You can't be married to lots and lots of women. By the way, the homeschool crack was about the kids, not the number of wives, okay? Just the number of kids. Homeschoolers tend to have very full quivers. Just a joke, my homeschool friend. See, I'm always ashamed to tell people how many kids that we have. When I go to homeschool conferences, which, by the way, will be at Teach Them Diligently in Nashville and in Athens, Georgia. It's the first year in Athens, Georgia. Looking forward to that. I have to tell people, hi, my name is Todd, and we homeschooled, and we only have three children. You can almost hear the air getting sucked out of the room. Only had three children. Yes, we did only have three children. In Utah, lots of kids, lots of wives. They want to now make it legal. State lawmaker, by the way, a Republican, no less. The law is a failure. It hasn't stopped polygamy at all, and it's actually enabled abuse to occur and remain unchecked. Huh? I don't understand how that works. If there's a law and it enables abuse to occur, isn't that the very opposite of what a law is supposed to do? Perhaps I don't understand all things in the polygamist world. And remain unchecked? Well, that's the very purpose of a law. I would say to this senator, okay, so are we going to take drunk driving off the books? That's still happening, so I guess we should just remove it. Once again, this is an issue of says who. This is going to be the question. No, it is already the question of our time. Who says a throuple is bad? Huh? Who says a throuple isn't good? Why not a quadruple? Who says in all of these affairs? Who says how many spouses that we can have? This is why when we discuss these issues in the arena of ideas, if we want to be just another vying voice, hey, we don't think it's good. We don't like it. We think it should just be one man, one woman. We're not going to be heard. We're getting drowned out thanks to people like HGTV. The tidal wave of new morals and values that are being churned out of Hollywood. There was a commercial on the TV. It was for a app where you can register for your wedding. And it showed a man and a woman, and then it showed a woman and a woman with somebody conducting the ceremony. I'm not exactly sure what that person's gender was. And you can register for this app, and it'll make your wedding easy. And then they showed all the couples smooching. Just there it was, right there. And there's going to be more and more. That's bad, says who? That's good, says who? We will not be heard. We have no authority to simply claim we don't like it. We think it's wrong. We need to bring in something objective. Otherwise, everything is subjective in our culture. It is nothing more than mere opinion unless we will state, thus saith the Lord. Without that, then it's just going to keep going this way. Expect thruples, pentuples, sextuples, whatever, appearing on your HGTV. Don't like the halftime show at the Super Bowl? Only going to get worse. We Christians are called to speak differently on these subjects. We have a different message. We are the ones who must say, thus saith the Lord. Now, there are people who would argue, and there are loud voices in evangelicalism that would argue, well, that's not going to do any good. They don't believe in the Bible. Precisely why we use it. That is exactly why we do use the Bible. And even if it doesn't win the day with public opinion, it's still, I don't want to say it this way, but it's the only thing we've got. And it's the best thing that we've got. Polygamists may not face jail time under Utah bill. Okay. All righty. Where are we going from here? It didn't take long. The slope has slipped. And by the way, just a quick note on slipping slopes. There was a here it is, right here. Here we go. It happens to be, I don't know the details of it, so a judge. It was a Trump appointee, but whatever. Rules against a Christian school expelled from the state voucher program. This is in Maryland. I believe it's called Bethel or Bethany Christian School. They were taking advantage of something called the Boost program. They received $100,000 from the government for low-income students to attend their Christian school. Looks like a charming place based on the picture that I've got here from Christian Post. Well, there was a law in Maryland that you have to be inclusive in your admission statement. The statement explained that Bethel does not discriminate based on race, color, national, and ethnic origin. Notice what was missing? Nothing about sexual orientation or gender identity. And so they pulled the voucher program. They fought back. The new judge said, sorry, you don't get the money because you're not inclusive enough. Additionally, the handbook also stated the Academy supports the biblical view of marriage defined as a covenant between one man and one woman, and God immutably bestows gender upon each person at birth as male or female to reflect his image. For their troubles, not only are they no longer going to get funding, they have to give back the $100,000. Now, that's the government saying, you're wrong. What is the Christian response? This is somebody now getting persecuted for stating, thus saith the Lord. And you can expect more of it. And the challenge for the church, the true church, will be under pressure from our government, which is increasing, and with, it would appear, leftist violence even increasing in our country, will we become another voice in a cacophony of voices, or will we stand firm and stand on the word of God and say, thus saith the Lord? This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. A bill that would guarantee a right to an abortion and overturn nearly every state-level restriction of the procedure has the support of nearly half of a Democratic-controlled House of Representatives. It's H.R. 2975, the Women's Health Protection Act of 2019, received a hearing in the Subcommittee on Health of the Committee on Energy and Commerce yesterday and would guarantee the right to an abortion even if the U.S. Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. The bill says a healthcare provider has a statutory right under this act to provide abortion services and may provide abortion services, and that provider's patient has a corresponding right to receive such services. The bill lists a dozen ways that states are prohibited from interfering with abortion. The language in the bill would nullify waiting periods and ultrasound requirements and guarantees late-term abortion as long as the pregnancy poses a risk to the pregnant patient's life or health. In the way courts have been ruling, that's basically late-term abortion on demand. The bill has 216 sponsors or co-sponsors. The only Republican on the list would be Representative Van Drew, who recently switched to the Republican Party. With 216 sponsors or co-sponsors, that's almost half. The House seats 435 representatives. Jennifer Popick, Director of Federal Legislation for National Right to Life, said in an analysis of the bill, it reinforces Democrats' full-throated commitment to allowing abortion for any reason up to the moment of birth. Teresa Stanton Collette, professor of law at the University of St. Thomas, said abortion must be restricted because of its unique nature, saying, unlike other procedures that are listed as comparable procedures in the legislation, in the words of the Eighth Circuit, ends the separate, unique human life. There is no other medical procedure that is undertaken in this country where that is permitted. The question is, why is it permitted at all? Lord have mercy. A high court ruling in Pakistan validating the marriage and forced conversion to Islam of a 14-year-old Christian girl has heightened fears there that it will encourage others to commit such crimes. The high court in Sindh province dismissed a petition earlier this month to have the marriage and forced conversion of a Catholic girl overturned, ruling that both were valid since a girl under Sharia law can marry after her first menstrual cycle. Humaya Unis was taken from her home in Karachi's Z Colony in October while her parents were away and was forced to marry the man who abducted her. According to the family's attorney, the hearing on February 3rd lasted only 5 minutes, saying the court in just a few words, citing Sharia as justification. The attorney added the family was prohibited from seeing the girl because police said her life would be at risk if she was brought to the courtroom. The legal battle's been going on for months with constant delays and excuses cited, so they wouldn't have to present the underage girl in court. The family has filed an appeal, and the attorney says a hearing is scheduled for early next month. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was the bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works, proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's a piece of good news, and then all the rest. This is Wretched Radio. This is good news. How long it'll last, I don't know. Headline from Christian Post: U.S. decline in religious affiliation may be slowing, say researchers. Latest polls suggest that maybe, we've kind of hit the bottom where people are abandoning any sort of profession of belief in God, whether Christian or anything. Looks like perhaps it's settled down just a little bit. We'll see. That's a bit of good news. Particularly, they cite, it looks like maybe the millennial Gen YZ generations are it's not dropping, at least with this particular poll. Nevertheless, the number is almost 40% of millennials, Gen Y and Gen Z. They profess no affiliation with church, synagogue, temple, anything. No belief in God. 40% of that generation. I cannot wait. I'm telling you, I cannot wait to start showing little snippets from Road Trip to Truth. This show is absolutely rocking. Zach has been holed up in a cave. Zach has been with us here at Wretched. We used to let him see the sun, but no more. We've got him in a room. All he's been doing is editing the footage. We did 191 interviews out on university campuses. John Fabares, son of Mike Fabares, you might know him from Compass Bible Church, Focal Point Ministries, spent days out on the campuses talking to the kids in the Bible Belt, demonstrating the vast majority of them do not understand the very basics of the Christian faith. Period. Mom and Dad, that should be an announcement to all of us to make sure our kids know stuff. Don't assume anything. Don't tell them and say, right? Ask them to articulate it. And so as we put together the workbook for Road Trip to Truth, it's going to be a 13-episode series, season one. We've already got the second season fired up and ready to go, hopefully. Season one is focused on issues like truth and postmodernism and evolution. We do deal with issues of depression and anxiety because it's an evangelistic opportunity. We started working on the workbook for it, and we're going to do two workbooks. And if you're thinking this is just one extended plug, it's not. I think if we are right on this, this is something that we need to take heed to which we heed take. We're going to put together two workbooks for it. One is going to be aimed at youth groups in evangelical Christianity. The other is going to be aimed at deeper divers, people perhaps homeschool, which it will have a curriculum that goes with it so it can be an accredited course on worldview. And as we were working on this just yesterday, we had to make a decision. The people who will be watching these episodes of Road Trip to Truth on those subjects in high schools, what do we want them to get out of it? What do we want them to learn about issues like Jesus being the only way, that postmodernism is self-refuting, that truth is not relative in the realm of faith and morals and beliefs? It either is true or it's not true. It's not some weird little corner of the world where math and science, yeah, we've got definitive answers, but not in faith. No, there's definitive answers. And so we had to make a decision. What do we want the students who will be watching this 13-episode series, what do we want them to get out of this? And we concluded, sadly, do I hope we're wrong? Yeah, I fear we're not. But we sadly concluded, we just want them to be persuaded by the argument. We don't want them to go deeper. We don't want them to get a deeper dive into issues like irreducible complexity, demonstrating that Genesis is absolutely accurate in what it says that God created the heavens and the earth. No, we don't want to do a deeper dive on the relationship between DNA and enzymes, and that both of them had to exist simultaneously. In other words, they had to be created at the same time. Otherwise, they can't operate without one another. They need one another. And so if they both aren't there simultaneously, they couldn't exist, which is what evolution would teach us. We don't want them to get into the nuances of that and any potential mutation exceptions. We want them to just get it. We want them to just go, right, they do have to exist simultaneously. We want them to be persuaded that God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. That's the goal. Why is it seemingly such a low bar? Because sadly, so many kids in youth group today are not persuaded of the Christian faith, and they run off to university and they get hit by a tidal wave and really cool people, and they become Rhett and Link. Not familiar with Rhett and Link? Was going to prepare sound for this because a lot of people sent emails going, look at these two guys. They're very popular. They're very likable. They're winsome fellows who host a daily program on the YouTube machine. And they have, it's like 2-3 million subscribers. They're big. And they spent a very thoughtful 1 hour and 40 minutes explaining, the one fellow did, the guy with the beard, I think his name is Rhett, why he is no longer a conservative evangelical Christian. And I got to tell you, he's a persuasive speaker because he wasn't wild-eyed. He was thoughtful, clearly relatively educated on the subjects, not deeply, but knew the lingo. And they took 1 hour and 40 minutes to explain why he is no longer an evangelical Christian. Now, the reason I didn't grab that sound was because I didn't hear anything new. It was the same thing, but what was instructive was about 20 minutes, give or take, into his hour and 40-minute long presentation. He said, I've always been a skeptical person, and so I've always wrestled with this. So I would hear something like, in 1 Samuel it says 22 people, and then in another section in 2 Kings it says 92 people. Oh, what do I do with that? Or something about the resurrection of Jesus. So he would hear some of the arguments, and it would cause him to go tweak, twinge, and he would have doubts arise. And doubts are okay because doubt isn't disbelief. You can hear somebody bring up an objection to Christianity knowing that they have all been dispensed with hundreds of times, thoughtfully, brilliantly, articulately. We have libraries full of apologetics books. But then he said, but things changed. Can you guess? When I went off to university, and there it was, another one slipped sliding away. Incidentally, footnote, his preamble was, hey, I really believe that stuff. So please, and like I said, this guy was very nice, very, very likable fellow. He said, please don't tell me I didn't believe in Jesus because I really, really did. And so he tried to dismiss that. And I've noticed a lot of people who no longer claim to be evangelical Christians get quite upset when you say to them, no, actually, you weren't a Christian. I remember talking to Dan Barker and saying to Dan Barker, who is now a virulent atheist, who used to work for Catherine Coleman, traveling around in a busted-up Volkswagen, going to different healing rallies. He truly believed that he was a believer. And I said, well, Dan, you couldn't have been, because 1 John 2:19 tells me that if you're no longer professing to be a Christian, you never really were a Christian. It infuriated him. Remember the parable of the soils. The one parable, if you can't get that parable, you can't get any of them. What's the parable of the four soils about? People who look like they're a Christian, they profess to be a Christian, but they fall away because they never were a Christian. That is the position of Rhett. He professed, he really, really thought he believed, he really, really had some emotions, but if he no longer professes Jesus Christ as Lord, the Bible, not Rhett, but the Bible says he never was among us in the first place. But this is a young man who was confronted with challenges to the Christian faith at university and then notoriously, quote, backslid, although he never slid forward in the first place. What happened to this young man? What happened? I would suggest to you, he didn't have these arguments against the faith resolved before he went to university. And you get in that environment, and it's cool, and it's fun, and peer pressure exudes itself, and you get a lot of smart professors that have a lot of initials behind their name, and it works, and we're seeing it all the time. So our goal with Road Trip to Truth was just to get these kids shored up so that they go, there's nothing wrong with saying Jesus Christ is Lord. I think in the one particular episode, Mike Riccardi from Grace Community Church, he just flat out said, I don't understand why people are in such a twist about this. If Jesus is God, he has every right to say that. Now, you can argue whether you believe that he is or not, but why you're upset that God would say, no, this is the way it is. You are not in a position to question. You're in a position to just receive the information. You can rebel against it and pay the price, but this is the way that it is. And so as we are preparing this workbook, it is our desire to try to reach those 40% of the kids and well beyond that. It's still the 60% of the millennials, Gen Y and Z, that are still in the church, have a bit of an affiliation, but based on our interviews with hundreds of them, do not have a genuine belief in the basics of the Christian faith, nor do they have the ability to defend it. Make sure, Mom and Dad, that's not your child. Make sure that you don't potentially delude yourself into thinking, no, my kid's good. They grew up in the church. Don't feed them. Force them to articulate the faith. And if they can't, well, then you got some work to do. Parents, this is Wretched Radio. What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
So it's a Saturday night. There you are on your computer and you decide, I'm going to watch a video of John MacArthur. And then the very next thing you know, you've been up for 3 hours deep into YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up. Yeah, we've all been there. Well, instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, visit wretched.org. You'll find hundreds of hours of biblically based TV and radio and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. And Wretched's hour-long radio programs, posted every day, they tackle the tough issues Christians face today. So the next time you're wandering around the web and watching baby giraffes trying to stand up, why not head on over to wretched.org, the home of all things wretched. Wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Let me take you to Eastern Europe, where the stories coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs are much better than my accent.
Katya came to the club when she was 14. Her father at the time left their family, and her mother was struggling to raise 5 kids by herself. Katya loved her experience in the Tomorrow Club right away and was overwhelmed by the amount of God's love shown through the leaders. Very soon, she brought 3 of her siblings that later became her helpers. Last year, Katya repented at the local church and was baptized. Now she's a leader in this Tomorrow Club, serving God. And I want to thank the Wretched Radio for your support that made Katya's story possible. May God bless you.
That's our dear brother, Max, leading the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples, your own Tomorrow Club in a small, poor Eastern European village. You can become a Tomorrow Club sponsor. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Yeah. God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now the not-so-good news. This is Wretched Radio. Shared a little bit of good news in the Christian world, in Western civilization, that maybe, just maybe, we've bottomed out on the number of people who are saying they no longer associate with anything regarding God. That maybe the numbers have stabilized just a bit. Maybe. Have they? The Lord only knows. And sadly, the Bible makes it clear. There's a larger number of people who profess, but a much smaller number of people who possess. Remember, there were people who said, "Lord, Lord, I did things for you." We could, if we wanted to do a message version of that for our context, we could say, "Jesus, I went on a missions trip for you. Jesus, I went to youth group and did stuff for you." And He says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." The professing versus possessing numbers are starkly different, I'm afraid. But maybe, just maybe, we've at least seen the mass abandoning go down. We'll wait for the next round of poll numbers. On to the other not-so-good church news. And none of this, frankly, is very exciting. This is an article from The Spectator, the Reverend Michael Corrin, and I expect we can expect more of this. Here's the headline: "God's Honest Truth? That's a vow, Reverend. Homosexuality is hardly mentioned in the Bible." Okay. How many times does it need to be mentioned, sir? This is another attempt to just water down what the Bible clearly says. What was that? I saw something. They were talking about the issue. It was transgender issues. There was I think it was Christian Post again. Must have printed a lot of stuff from them. Christian Post ran a long, about a 25-page article. It was a testimony of a man. They didn't identify who it was, 41 years old, who was born male and got confused. And really the article insinuated he was kind of pressured into it. He got into the transgender funnel. And there was just a lot of encouraging. You got to do, this will help. Are you ready for the surgery? Short interviews, never taking a lot of time to figure out what was going on with this fellow. One of the comments from one of the statements that he said, this is like a verbatim quote he said. One of the doctors said, "Look, if you feel trans, then you are trans." Well, that's scientific. But I was watching something and they were talking about the issue of transgenderism and they flat out said, "Science is on our side." So you and I, Christian, are science deniers. And that is the exact opposite of the truth. Science clearly tests your chromosomes, and you've either got an X and a Y or you don't. That's it. There's your scientific options right there. And yet they're trying to argue what I'm holding in my hand right now, this is not a water bottle. Science is on my side. But it's a bottle and it's got water in it. I'm just telling you, fool. Science is on my side. It's staggering. So that is another reason that we don't use science to argue our position, because people just won't accept it. And they'll say the exact opposite. And that's what this reverend is doing in the Spectator article. The subject of homosexuality is hardly mentioned in the Bible. Actually, it's mentioned half a dozen times. It only needs to be mentioned one time, clearly, and we're done. How many times do you have "thou shalt not murder"? Not a lot, but it's enough because it's clear. But they're just flat out stating what is obviously not true. Get ready for more of that, evangelical Christian. Prepare to be increasingly frustrated. From the article: "The subject is hardly mentioned in the Bible, and when it is referred to, the context is complicated." No, sir, the context is perfectly clear. You're just making it complicated. I am shocked these days at how everything can be reinterpreted and re-understood. You can say something. there's a skinny guy sitting in a chair talking about a Spectator article on a program called Wretched Radio. Well, you see what that actually means is the fellow was standing, and it wasn't radio because it was also on social media. So therefore, we're just going to throw out that entire statement. What? How did you do that exactly? It's an increasing art form that is really quite masterful, entirely wrong, but taking what is clearly stated and just reinterpreting it through a nuance or just a, well, the semantic range of that word indicates that it could be. Therefore, we reinterpret the entire thing. It can drive you bonkers. The so-called gotcha verses from the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, are invariably quoted, but with very little understanding of what they mean. Really? When it says homosexuality is an abomination, that's what are we confused about? Well, you see, if you understand the Hebrew, all right, okay. Further, this article goes on to state, Jesus doesn't mention homosexuality at all. Does Jesus have to state anything about it at all? No, he doesn't. But he did state something positive and affirm in Matthew 19 about marriage between one man and one woman. That there was his validation of what we read in Genesis. One man, one woman. Did he use the word homosexuality? No, he couldn't have, because that word wasn't invented until a couple hundred years ago. Here's from the article. Get ready for more of this. St. Paul does mention homosexuality. Although the word is anachronistic, not being coined for another 1,800 years, that's right. The peripatetic apostle wasn't, however, writing of same-sex marriages, precisely because he didn't know of them. Right. And the apostle Paul didn't write about drunk driving because he didn't know about cars. What's your point? Honestly, the Bible is crystal clear, and yet these masters of obfuscation are taking what is plain and just absolutely contorting it. Here's another contortion. This is just shocking. Very popular, Stephen Furtick. It just continues to get more and more outrageous. How much clearer could the Bible be on subjects like this? Stephen Furtick says, without us, God is not real, just a concept, an abstract theory. Quote, it's not how God sees me, but how I think God sees me that determines where I end up. Well, no, that's not true at all. Where you'll end up is determined by if you're in Christ or not. Quote, God needed someone to show the world what he looked like, or else he would have just been a concept. God would have been an abstract theory. And how many thousands and thousands and thousands of people go to that fellow's church? A lot. How many people go to the church of Sean Boltz? This is a man who has been demonstrated to be a charlatan over and over again. He's associated with Bethel, with the New Apostolic Reformation. This is the headline, by the way. Fox News, sorry, there's something fishy going on at Fox News. They continue. This is a headline from Fox News, not from Charisma Magazine, from Fox News. California pastor who prophesied Kanye West's transformation 4 years ago predicts this about Trump. What? What? Fox News? This is a promotion of prophetic utterances? We are all, as humanity, wired to hear from God, says this pastor, both people who know Jesus and don't know Jesus. Well, that's just ridiculous. Citing the book of Daniel as an example. Oh, I see. So a pagan God worked on a pagan king, therefore everybody can hear from God. Nice, eisegesis. A lot of the way we hear him is through symbols, signs, and dreams, but we can hear him in so many different ways. Stating, quote, most of my prophecies come true, but he has been wrong at times. I told one family a diagnosis of a family member who had cancer and told them I thought God was going to bring healing, and she died a few months later. I took responsibility for the damage they inflicted. These prophecies that people are giving, they hurt people. This happens all the time. I think your child is going to die. They prophesy that. And then the child lives what they put the parents through. And then in this instance, I think your loved one's going to live and they die. Oh, I take responsibility. How's about you stop that? Honestly, sorry to report this, my Southern Baptist friends, the lineup for the Southern Baptist Convention. All kinds of characters that you would not expect to be at the Southern Baptist Convention. A woman who identifies as a preacher is going to be doing a spoken word. All kinds of people that are even associated with Bethel and the New Apostolic Reformation movement. Yikes. That isn't encouraging at all. Be watching for that. Just be watching what happens this next meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. It is going to be a lulu. Who will be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention? What will the Southern Baptists determine about the current assaults on the roles of men and women in the church? Well, I wonder if by having a female pastor speaking at their convention, if nothing else, it shows there's a battle a brewing. There's a little skirmish afoot. And watching what happens at the Southern Baptist Convention is going to be, understatement, interesting. What do we want the result to be? Pray for the Southern Baptist Convention. We want them solid, right? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.